As we open your word together, I pray that you would bless us. We come to you asking for your Holy Spirit once again. Impact our hearts, touch our minds, change us inside out, Lord. Help us to enter into a new year with the blessings that you have promised to us and shared with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on blessing number three. Think of what it must have been like to ponder the thought-provoking statements of Jesus that truly the blessed among us are those we have naturally sought to avoid, the poor in spirit, those who mourn. And now we come to the third in the sequence. Jesus adds the third character to the list of those who are blessed. Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, who are the meek? You might wonder as you sit and listen to Jesus call them among the blessed. And it's a fair question. We know who the poor are. They are the ones who have no money. They are the ones who are without material items. We know what poverty is, and to be poor in spirit is also familiar to us. We know what it is to lose something dear to us and feel that loss. So we understand the first blessing, poor, poor in spirit. We also know what it means to mourn. For sadness and grief have touched all the sons and daughters of Adam. We know what it is to bury a beloved pet, or a mother, father, sister, brother, and some a friend or child. We know what it means to mourn. But now, Jesus introduces a new word to us. Meekness. Meek. What really does meekness mean? And who are the meek? If you're confused, you're not alone. Let me assure you, you're not the only one who is a little confused. We just don't use the English word meekness much nowadays. I mean, when was the last time you woke up in the morning and said, I'm feeling a little meek today? Or I appreciate you, you are just so meek. We just don't use that term very often, do you? I mean, outside of the Bible, I'm not sure I've heard anybody say, use that term in a sentence. Have you? So we're a little confused. What does meek really mean? Well, you know, some say the word meekness means to be humble. And in a sense, humility and meekness go hand in hand. But meekness is more than just humility. We listen to sermons on meekness, and some preachers will say that meekness means gentleness. And we nod our heads in agreement. Yeah, that sounds like meek, you know. After all, wasn't baby Jesus meek and mild? Which brings up in our mind the image of something harmless that wouldn't hurt a thing. And in a sense, we would be right to associate gentleness and humility both with the word meekness, because the Bible translators themselves interchange these three words. You just take a look at the few of the times that meekness is mentioned in the Bible, and you'll see what I mean. For instance, you take 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, it says, and I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the what? Meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. Here, the Apostle Paul uses meekness and gentleness together, indicating that they're related. Yet, they are not the same thing. Another word that is often associated with meekness is humility. And the New International Version actually translates meekness as humility or to be humble. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, in the NIV, it says, by the humility and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you. So notice that they use that word interchangeably, humility and meekness. If you go through all the translations, you find that the translators will switch back and forth between these three words, meek, gentle, and humble, often using them interchangeably. I want to show you another verse. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Meekness is actually mentioned as one of the fruits of the Spirit. And here it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," and then "meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, you may have learned it from the New King James Version, which changes meekness to gentleness, and then changes gentleness to kindness. And all of this kind of makes us all the more confused. Well, then what does meekness really mean? Does it have a distinct meaning apart from gentleness, humility, kindness? What is it? Well, if you dig a little deeper, you find that the Bible indicates that meekness is a quality or attitude or disposition or character trait of those who have wisdom. In James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So those who are wise have what? Meekness. Those who are wise have meekness. And then we turn over to our last verse here. It's 1 Peter, and we find that when we defend the gospel, we are to defend it with meekness. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." And how are we supposed to do it? With meekness and what, everyone? And fear. So what really is meekness? And the answer of who the meek really are and what meekness really means is in the answer of who shall inherit the earth. Right? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus says the meek will what? Inherit the earth. So if you discover who inherits the earth, you discover who the meek are. There are only two ways that people gain the earth today. The first is through conquest and ambition. Wars are being fought, even as I speak right now, by countries and governments and groups over a piece of dirt. Wars are being waged for control over this earth. Right? Russia contends that a part of Ukraine belongs to it. You've seen that in the news. And so there is war over who owns that soil. China claims that Taiwan, a little island off the coast of China, actually belongs to China, yet both Taiwan and the United States recognize this little island of dirt as sovereign territory belonging to Taiwan. If you type in your search engine, China-Taiwan war, the first thing that pops up is a news article dated November 24, 2021. That was last month, just a few weeks ago. The headline says, "America must prepare for war with China over Taiwan." And then just the month before that, in October, China said war could be triggered at any time in a chilling warning to the West over the rising tensions in Taiwan. So these countries, our own country, is fighting in order to inherit the earth. Now the first way that people try to inherit the earth is through conquest and ambition. I'm going to get that piece of dirt. You know, and there are people, you know, my wife and I were just listening to a clip on homelessness, and they were talking about not all the homeless are jobless, and that some actually are professionals, doctors, lawyers, nurses, who live in tents, and you know why? so that they can inherit the earth, so that they can save up enough money that they can buy a large house, and they don't spend their money on rentals or whatever, so they're living in tents in the slums, washing up, going to the hospital, going to the law firm, going wherever, working, making however much they can, so that they can make as much as they can, as quick as they can. Why? So that they can inherit the earth. So the first way that people try and inherit the earth is through conquest and ambition. But the Bible says, the meek do not fight or defend. The meek instead simply wait. Psalm 37, verses 9 through 11. I want you to read it with me. Are you ready? Psalm 37, verses 9 through 11. Let's read it together. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Who is it that inherits the earth? The meek. But the Bible started off by saying, those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. Here's a question for you. Do the meek fight for the earth? It's interesting, at the end of time, at the end of the 1,000 years, who is it that's still trying to gain the earth by conquest and ambition? Satan and all the wicked who are raised, and they march, it says they march on the breath of the earth and surround the camp of the saints. Why? Because they're still trying to inherit the earth through the old ways of the past, through conquest and ambition, and they haven't learned their lesson yet. And the Bible says, no, 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 it is not them that inherit the earth, it is those that wait on the Lord. So here we have, the meek don't fight for the earth. Do they defend their little plot of land if they have a little plot of land? No. They do not need to defend themselves against the attack of their enemies who greedily seek to acquire the earth through conquest and ambition. The meek simply wait. They wait for it as a gift from the Lord. And this brings us to the second way the earth is gained. The first was conquest and ambition, but the second is as a gift. As a gift. A gift is not something you've earned, fought for, or have to defend. It is something you receive freely at the right time from the right person. Okay? Meekness says, I don't have to fight for it. Meekness says, I don't have to defend it. Meekness says, all I have to do is wait upon who? Wait upon the Lord. So the meek wait. They wait. They wait with the assurance in their heart that God Himself will bring about the thing that they desire. They wait. Meekness is an attitude or disposition that refuses to gain through force or human ambition or effort its own rights, refuses to fight for itself, but waits for its rights to be given by God. But meekness is more than a willingness to not fight over stuff or a plot of land. Meekness reaches deeper down to your own character, reputation, and self-interests. And here's an even better definition of meekness. Meekness is an unwillingness to fight for or to defend one's own reputation or self-interest. Let me repeat it. And if you take notes, you can take notes on this. Meekness is an unwillingness to fight for or to defend one's own reputation or self-interest. And we see this in the character, this as a character quality in the life of one who the Bible calls the meekest man on earth. Who was that? Do you know? Moses. Moses is an example of meekness. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very what? Very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." But how was Moses meek? What was the meekness in Moses' life? Well, first we must discover what the circumstances were surrounding this statement. The one here in Numbers 12, verse 3. The statement that Moses was the meekest man on earth. When we go back to the Bible, we find that just before the Bible shares that Moses is the meekest man, his reputation is being smeared and attacked by his own brother Aaron and his own sister Miriam. Let's read it together in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Are you ready? "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." There's something about the meekness of Moses that is revealed when Moses' reputation is on the line, being attacked publicly by his own sister and his own brother. The people who should know him the best are sharing throughout the camp, Moses isn't anybody special. Moses is not somebody great. We're just as important as Moses is. Now, when Miriam and Aaron were attacking Moses' reputation, and even his own wife, what is the most natural thing for any man to do when his reputation and his wife are being attacked? Well, to defend them against their accusations, right? You attack my reputation, I'm going to defend my good name and honor. But if you attack my wife, you've crossed the line. But do we have any record of Moses defending himself? Zero. Any record of Moses setting the record straight with his sister and brother? Zero again. Do we find Moses fighting for his rights, his reputation, his good name, or even defending his decision to marry his Ethiopian wife? Nothing. The Bible is silent because Moses was silent. When accusations were railed against him, he opened not his mouth. Why? What character trait was being displayed by Moses' silence and unwillingness to fight for his reputation and honor? Meekness. Meekness. Here it is, meekness. Meekness in Moses was displayed in his unwillingness to engage his accusers and meet them on their own low ground. Meekness was an act of faith by Moses to trust in the Lord to defend his good name and reputation rather than to defend it himself. Moses didn't fight. He didn't argue. He didn't justify or defend. Moses was silent because God was his defense. Immediately after Moses is called the meekest man on earth, the Bible declares that God comes to Moses' defense, and Moses doesn't have to say a single thing. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, it says, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth." And what does Moses do? Does Moses say anything? He just stands there and he watches the Lord give him his inheritance. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Moses didn't say a word, not a single thing. And here the Lord comes to his aid. You know, I think of David, King David. You remember King David would not say a single thing against Saul. Saul said a whole bunch of things against David, but David refused to defend his reputation and his good name. Why? Why? Well, it's because his faith was in the Lord. Meekness characterizes those whose faith is in the Lord. They don't have to go around and defend their name. If somebody accuses them of something, they stand. They stand before the Lord and they say, "Lord, you defend me. You are my defense. You are my rock. You are the one who either gives me a good name or allows my good name to crumble. You are the one who gives me all that I have." There are so many examples that I can think of. You know, when my wife and I were living for a time in Texas, her car was parked out in front of the house, and the neighbor did a hit and run, but he didn't run very far because he just was next door. So we could tell that our car was hit, and we could tell that the paint color matched the color streaks on his bumper. So it was pretty obvious. So we went over and confronted the neighbor, and the neighbor wouldn't do a thing. Doesn't that make you mad when you feel unjustly treated? Like, I know and you know that you hit my car and dented it, and you're not willing to do a thing? Oh, man. And when you fume in your mind, all you can think of is small claims court. I mean, I'm going to take this guy. He's going to pay for what he did. And my wife and I prayed. And we didn't go to court. And we asked the Lord to take care of us. And along came another neighbor who saw our condition. And he had been a auto body mechanic all his life. And he says, "You know, I like you as a neighbor and I like him as a neighbor. Why don't I just take your car and fix it for free?" And my first thought was, yeah, but he's not going to learn his lesson. And then I remembered, you know, the Lord has said the battle belongs to the Lord. I don't have to fight for everything. I don't have to fight the people who take advantage of me and fight the people who take away whatever I have. I don't have to fight. I can give my fight over to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm going to be meek like Moses and let you fight for me." And the Lord fixed everything out for that car. If I remember right, we either sold that car for the same price that we bought it, or we sold it for more than we bought it. Somewhere along that way. But the Lord worked it all out. And he always does. You know, there is only one other person mentioned in the Bible that was meeker than Moses, and that was Jesus. Jesus is an example of meekness. And Jesus calls us to be meek like he is meek. In Matthew 11, verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Do you want peace? Do you want contentment? Do you want to have that weight that you've been carrying all week fall off your back? Then give up the fight. Throw in the towel and give it to the Lord and stand there in silence and watch the Lord work. Meekness. Meekness is a willingness to let the Lord fight for your reputation and your self-interest. Here in this verse, Jesus calls us to follow His example and choose the path of meekness, just as He chose this path. So what does meekness look like in Jesus' life? Well, we find it displayed here in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no," what? "No reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So what does meekness in Jesus' life look like? A life that is not lived to guard reputation or honor or position, but a willingness to take the road of humility and to trust God to fight for your reputation, your position, and your rights. Again, like Moses, we find that the meekness of Jesus on display when accusations were railed against him in the court of Pilate. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 through 14, it says, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." I like how Mark puts it. In Mark chapter 15, verses 3 through 5, it says, "And the chief priests accused him of many things." How many things? Many things. And what did he say in defense of himself? "And he answered nothing." And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. As Moses was silent when his reputation was being maligned, so Jesus was silent even when his own life was on the line. Self was so hid in his Father that Jesus could be at perfect peace amidst a storm of fiery accusations. This is where God wants you. Notice what Ellen White says in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 16. "It is the love of self that destroys our what? It is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is all alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. We shall be deaf to reproach and blind to scorn and insult." So why is it that we're so easily offended? Why is it that we feel such a need to defend ourselves, to defend our reputation, to defend our good name, to defend what we want for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, to defend where we want to go on a family vacation, to defend all the things that we feel is rightfully ours? What is it that causes this feeling of defense to well up inside of us and for us to state our opinion forcefully and say, "I will have my way"? The love of self. Every time that I willfully engage in a fight with somebody else where it's either my way or their way, and by George, it's going to be my way. Every time we debate, every time that we fight, every time that we try to gain by conquest or ambition something over someone else, it is evidence that self is cherished in our heart more than Christ. So is meekness the same as gentleness? Well, yes, in that the meek will not fight with you over what they want or over their rights or over their reputation. The meek have no need to fight, for their trust is in the Lord, and thus gentleness is found in their life. But meekness is more than gentleness. So is meekness humility? Well, meekness precedes humility. Humility is the action of taking a lower position so that another may rise. But meekness is the attitude of the heart which leads to the action of humility. Saying, I do not need to be first. I don't need to talk first. I don't need to get my way first. Meekness is a willingness to give position, property, reputation into the hands of the Lord and let it all come from Him. And that leads the way for actions of humility, which allow others to be placed above yourself. Meekness is when self has died and Christ is now living in your life, His life in me. I do not need to defend my reputation or fight for my self-interest because my faith is anchored in God and His love for me. The character of meekness is a revelation that self has been dethroned and no longer holds supremacy in the soul. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 14, says, Jesus emptied Himself, and in all that He did, self did not appear. He subordinated all things to the will of His Father. When His mission on earth was about to close, He could say, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And He bids us, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the soul. And that is what it means to be meek. To dethrone self so that it no longer holds the supremacy of the soul. One more quote from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 15. She says, human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy. And there is what? Silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice. But we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for His hand to lead, listening for His voice to guide. And that, my friends, is what meekness is. Do you now see what meekness is? What a shock to the crowds on the mountainside with Jesus to learn that greatness and blessing are not acquired in the same way the world seeks to acquire it, through conquest and ambition. Self-promotion, conquest and ambition are all foreign to the kingdom of God, where meekness is the quality of those who will at last reign over the earth. How many of you would like to inherit the earth? There's a path. And that path is meekness. A willingness to let God fight for you. A willingness to let God defend you. A willingness to not fight and struggle and carry bitterness and anger in your heart and combat those around you and seek for the first place in every position, but let God give you your position. Let God give you what you have. Let God give you a reputation. And when God is the center of your life rather than your own self-promotion, you'll truly be meek. When people accuse you or say all sorts of things against you, you don't have to say anything back. You can smile, stand still, look up to heaven like Moses and say, Lord, they may have left me, but I know You didn't leave me. You're with me to the end, and I'm with You to the end. And the earth that the meek will reign over and inherit isn't this run-down, war-torn planet. The Bible promises to those who are meek, in Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And in 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is where the path of meekness leads, friends. And today, Jesus offers you what he offered the multitude on the mountainside, the blessing of meekness and the promise of an earth made new. Will you choose meekness in your life? When enemies revile you, will you silently give your reputation into the hands of God? When war threatens to erupt in your marriage, will you give the fight for your rights into the hands of God and choose rather to have Jesus on the throne of your heart rather than self? Today, no doubt, there are some who are battling with self, and you hear Jesus calling you to let the supremacy of self go in your heart. Will you choose today to let your will go that God can have His will in your life? How many say, Lord, I want the blessing of meekness, and I choose the blessing of meekness. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize this morning that it is easy to say, I'm willing to be meek. When we're sitting in a pew in a very warm church, and we are not in the middle of a battle or a fight or a contention or feeling unjustly treated. But Lord, in those moments when our own rights are trampled on, or at least what we consider rights, or our own opinions are not considered, or our own desires are not taken into account, or the things that we want we don't have, I pray, Lord, that in those difficult moments that we will choose, rather than conquest and ambition, we would choose to give the battle into your hands and choose to trust you to fight for us and to accept all that you will give to us from your hands. And Lord, we believe and trust your promise that as we walk in the path of the meek, that we will join them in inheriting an earth made new. We want that earth made new where we will dwell with you forever. And so, Lord, bless us that we might gain that blessing that you promised to the multitude there on the hillside and to us here today. Give us the blessing of meekness, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.